Blog Talk Radio.
Man, we are being simulcast on so many different platforms right now, Larcher. Can you feel it?
I feel it. It is, it's hip to be on so many platforms. I feel like a shoe store. Man, I went to the mall today.
Hang on. I'm always excited about a good mall trip. Where'd you go?
The hip, man. The hip.
Over there, the Harlem Irving Plaza.
Oh, yeah. I've been going there since I was a little kid. I know the place frontwards and backwards. I parked my car, and I had a little bit of time, so I was going to go into the food court and have lunch.
Oh, yeah.
I go in, and the area to the food court completely gone. Nothing but stores. So I figured, well, COVID must have gotten rid of the food court. So I walked all the way around that mall, and then I turned around, and I realized I was like one entrance before the food court.
I was going to say, I was there within a month, and the food court was going strong. I usually park at the Target and then walk through there to get around.
Yeah, well, I went to the Philadelphia. They had Philadelphia cheesesteak. They had a place where you get some cheesesteaks, but the lady was too slow with the line. So then I looked at Sbarro's, but their line was too. They had like five people in it. And then I looked at the Panda Express, and they had people in it. The only thing open was Popeyes. So I went and got Popeyes, and I've had a stomach ache since.
Spicy chicken?
Yeah,
spicy chicken sandwich?
No. I don't do sandwiches, man. Chicken sandwiches are a scam.
Too popular.
They're pointless, man. If I want to eat fried chicken, I'm eating fried chicken. If I want to eat a sandwich, I'm going to eat a sandwich. I don't want you to marry the two. I have no interest in that union.
Noted. I'm done making them for you. Hey, he is Al Larcher. I am Clark Lawrenson. That makes us Larcher and Lawrenson. It's Tuesday night. You know what that means. We're finally doing a damn show on an actual Tuesday, which is our regular time slot. Yeah, how about it, buddy?
Back in business.
The show is entitled Live at the Sports Addict. We are a podcast that's been around since 2012. COVID started. We have been casting from remote locations on the northern side of Chicago. We come to you on Twitch. We come to you on YouTube. No, not on YouTube right now. We'll be there soon. Yeah, we don't need them. We got Twitch. We got Twitter. We got Facebook Live. And as always, we are on Blog Talk Radio, and we are anywhere you get your podcasts.
And I think we're soon to get a Discord channel.
Ah, Discord is coming around. The show is ready to roll. You can join in many ways by leaving a comment on any of those platforms. You can also give us a call at 760-454-8834, 760-454-8834. Chicken tenders or chicken wings, Al?
Chicken tenders. Chicken wings. Chicken tenders are bullshit. More bullshit. You're eating a boneless chicken. What in the hell? I've never met a chicken without a bone. And if it was in some weird medical condition that's probably not something we should celebrate.
Well, they can take the bone out of the chicken. That's not a big deal, right?
That's human's job. That's what you're eating. You eat the meat off the bone.
Huh. I don't know. I'm a chicken wing guy. Boneless wings don't exist because they're just chicken popcorn chicken or chicken balls
nuggets.
Or chicken nuggets, chicken tenders. They're bullshit. I'll eat chicken tenders. I just won't eat boneless wings because they don't exist. But chicken wings are the way to go. I was going to cook some tonight, but the show was coming up, and I ran out of time. So you know what I made? Chicken nuggets for the kids.
There you go.
Yep.
I stopped at Joseph's Finest Meats. I got some Italian sausage with the green pepper built inside. And probably going to mix that up with some onions tonight, maybe a little red sauce.
They put the Italian beef there with the peppers right in it?
Yeah, and then like in about a month or a couple weeks, you should have it with the Vidalia onion inside.
Man.
And that is a real treat.
Excellent. I should have updated the folks about that. Because last week you gave me all the info. Head to Joseph's Finest Meats. head over to the place down on Harlem, the Italian place, and get a sandwich from there too.
Riviera.
I'm in. Absolutely. Again, 760-454-8834 if you want to join in on the phone call.
Sean congratulates us on doing a show on a Tuesday.
Oh,
nice.
Man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Really do.
I will be on the eFed podcast. It's already dropped. So go check that out. Very exciting. Anywhere where you can find your finer podcasts, you can get it. Your Apple podcast,
yeah,
or your Spotify podcast. Just go ahead and find it. Very exciting. Very good.
Now, I know you
look at my e-wrestling career.
It wouldn't be professional to give the entire thing away, but maybe you could give us a couple cliff notes about the show here. What's something that came up that you didn't expect you'd be talking about? What was your most exciting thing to discuss?
Well, I got to say, the host is very professional. The
okay.
show, much more professional than this one.
That wouldn't take much. But.
Very good interview. A lot of fun. I think we discussed some of the problems with e-wrestling and some of the joys and some of the good moments, and really spotlight my historic Hall of Fame career. And today being Hall of Fame night on WWE, I think it's only appropriate it drops on Hall of Fame Day.
There it is. I can't agree more. It is out today. It's available. This eFed podcast, is that what it's called?
Yeah, the eFed podcast.
Awesome.
Just go ahead and look it up. You'll find it, and enjoy. You know, I'm sure you and the kids will probably tune in and have a good run with it.
Oh, absolutely. After the show tonight, I'm going to go help put Hazel down to bed, and I'll play that as her bedtime music.
There you go. That's smart, see? Teamwork.
They told me to say...
Episode 68 of the eFed podcast.
When I was coming downstairs, they told me to say hi to you for the... So hello from the kids.
Hi to the kids back. Very nice to hear they're doing well.
Yeah, it is. No, that's really great that you were on the podcast. I will pick it up and give it a listen. Absolutely. You mentioned it's Hall of Fame Day, a big Hall of Fame class, because they got to take care of some from last year. Batista, who was going to be in the 2020, he ended up, 6:45. There it is, right on the dot. Count on that alarm every time. It's great. I love it. Yeah, big class. Dave Batista had to step back because he's filming something, I gather. But he was going to be in the class of 2020. The NWO in the class of 2020. But in the class of 2021 is Eric Bischoff, Larcher.
Yeah, the bitch is back.
What did they do? I know they recorded it last week. There's not going to be an audience out there, right?
There might be an audience of wrestlers.
Okay.
Like it might be... You know, I think I saw, what's her name, the Scottish girl dressed up in a nice dress go into it. And,
okay, yeah.
Nikki Cross. So I imagine, you know, the audience is probably wrestlers, and they can do a nice little thing there.
I saw the Bella Twins will be there. The Bella Twins are in the, they're getting inducted. And then Titus, he's getting some award. The Warrior, he's the Warrior Award.
Warrior Award?
Yeah.
Jushin Thunder Liger. Is receiving his honor.
Is he?
11-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, one-time WCW Light Heavyweight Champion, considered
wow,
by
great.
WWE to be the most revolutionary competitor in sports entertainment history.
Wow.
He's getting in. The
wow.
British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, one-time WWE Intercontinental Champion, inaugural and two-time European Champion, two-time WWF Hardcore Champion, two-time WWF Tag Team Champion, and John Bradshaw Layfield, one-time world champion, one-time intercontinental, one-time United States, three-time tag team champion, one-time European champion, 18-time hardcore champion, the 2013 Slammy Award for Favorite Web Show of the Year with Michael Cole and Renee Young, and longtime commentator. So, yeah, I look forward to watching it tonight.
Okay. That'll be good. Did you figure out the Peacock? You got it? You found it?
Yeah, I didn't have to do anything. I just had to click a button. But it's slow, man. It's slow. It's not functional. It's
okay.
It's a disaster. Sean wants to know what I think of Retromania. You know, I played it for like a half an hour, and I wasn't like really into it, but I have a feeling one stoned up night I'm gonna fall in love with it. But right now it's just not there for me yet. I started in like the career mode.
Yep.
Maybe I just need to jump into some other modes and kind of just start playing through it. It's a wrestling game, Clark. It's it's like a 90s style wrestling game.
This is what I gathered at this point from you, was that it's a 90s base, so it's all 90s wrestlers. Do they have WCW, WWF? What is it?
Well, it's a mixture of guys. It's not necessarily like Colt Cabana is he's finally in a video game. I know you've been clamoring for Colt Cabana to be in a video game.
I have.
And now now you have it.
Colt Cabana. He's on all the posters, the billboards around here. He's flexing.
He is.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's him. Buy his shirt.
He's very popular in the Chicagoland community.
And I think he's still in the Dark Order.
I believe he is as well, yeah. I'm trying to find a list of playable characters. I know Legion of Doom or the Road Warriors are in it. Why would you put it on Wikipedia and not list who's in it? It's considered an arcade-style game, very similar to WWF WrestleFest. I would agree with that. And I loved WrestleFest. I mean, that was a great game.
Is it Hawk, so. Animal, Nick Aldis, Tommy Dreamer, Colt Cabana, Blue Meanie, Stevie Richards, Hollywood Nova, Chris Bay, Mr. Hughes, Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, James Storm, Johnny Retro, Nikita Koloff, Warhorse, Sin Idol, Jeff Cobb, Zack Sabre Jr. A lot of cool fucking names for that.
Yeah, you've seen Warhorse.
Yeah.
Some Warrior Wrestling, which, by the way, they're back in business, so we got to make some plans, maybe go see a show.
Yeah, we do.
By the way, today's going to be a very heavily wrestling-themed show with WrestleMania coming up Sunday.
Sure.
Maybe we'll get a little of the local sports in first. I hear Boob Shambi is not being received well.
Really? I think he's better than what they had before.
A lot of people are disappointed and looking.
Really?
Wishing the old guy was back. Yeah, that's what I've seen.
Now, you know what it is? People don't understand change. People are not happy when things change. So they're all stuck in their old ways. They want Len Casper to be extra nasally and all that. And Boog is just, he's more like you and I, Al. He's laid back. He sounds like he's coming to you from
now. Why is this guy named Boob Zombie? What is that?
His dad, when he was a kid, thought he looked like, Boog. He looked like Boog Powell, who was a baseball player for the Baltimore Orioles.
Well, what the fuck's a Boog?
B-O-O-G. It was the guy's name. That was that guy's name, Boog Powell.
I don't think his
name was Boog. So this is John Shambi. It's John is his name.
John. Maybe that's why nobody likes him.
Where are you hearing that people don't? I haven't seen that at all.
Wake up, Clark. Smell the coffee.
Maybe some Iowa Cub fans and shit. Not those of us who give a shit about baseball.
Go look at Twitter. Go read reviews. I know you're very narrow-minded. If you like something, then everybody has to like it, and that means it only exists in that one realm.
I just don't understand. It's been four games. I'll tell you what. Here's where Boog Shambi got me, buddy. It was when I would wake up. I wake up sometimes at 4 in the morning like I did today, and a year ago, this pandemic is raging. One of the first sports back was KBO, Korean baseball. ESPN announcers doing it from their homes, from their home offices. And there's Boog Shambi doing a game that I'm falling asleep to in and out of while I'm awake at 4 in the morning down on my couch after I had woken up to go downstairs. And that's why he's my guy. I'm sorry if I'm held on to him a little bit, but he give him time. The people are going to love him.
All right now, people a little concerned with the Boob Zombie.
Well, it's been four games. You know what? They also probably think that the Cubs are going to win the World Series because they've only lost the game. Let me tell you something. They're not going to do it. They're not. If this team makes the playoffs, woo, that'd be amazing.
How are your Cleveland Indians? Are they doing all right?
They're terrible. They're in dead last. The Indians are in dead last. My White Sox, on the other hand, also not doing so well, but they finally got a much-needed win last night, so that's good. Glad to see that. That kid, Wright, whatever his name is, somebody played left field last night for the first time. You can tell I know the White Sox really well.
Well, you know, I'm moving into a new field. Recently on this show, I brought everybody up to speed a couple weeks before the boom hit on what became NBA Top Shot. Remember,
yeah.
I was probably about a week late on it. Now, I'm telling you, the craze is out there. We're all getting in the business. We're buying ponies, baby. We're racing horses. I'm ready to go. There's a whole new NTF. There's a whole new blockchain. There's a whole new investment opportunity where you can own digital racehorses, and you can race the horses against other people, win real money, and sell and stud your horses. You can have them banged up. You can make new horses. You sell those horses. You can have a stable of horses. You could be a horse racing imperio, if that's a word.
What is that, it's a horse racing imperio?
And a horse racing czar, Clark.
A horse
all you
racing
gotta do is get in on the game.
Guru. Do they race?
Yeah, they race.
Do you race them against each other? You buy a horse and then you race them?
Yeah, you enter a race. It costs like maybe $20 to get into a race. And then whoever wins the race takes the pot.
Wow. So that's
but
where you make your money?
Is
in, do you
they
make your money in the races or do you make your money by selling it?
Well, right now all the money's in selling up because they just released the original set of horses, the first generation of horses. So these are going to be the OGs of the horsing racing community.
Dude.
And people are getting these for like $40. They're selling in upwards of $7,000. I saw a horse for $12,000. You know, if it's got a good bloodline, it's going to make out some baby horses that are going to be tearing up the racetracks. And yeah, so people are studying. They're getting ready. I'm just ready to, I want to buy a horse, Clark. I'm in. I need a horse. I want to start racing horses. I want to get into the business. Forget fantasy football, baby. We're going all in on the ponies.
Okay, we got the ponies. Now, here's the deal. They cost $40. Just go get one. Boom. You got it.
Well, you got it. They only drop them, and they only drop so many.
Don't drop the horses.
Digital horses, Clark. Oh. Follow along, man.
You can drop the digital horse. All right. Then drop the digital horse. That'll be just
it's
fine.
It's Zed. The company's called Zed.
I thought it was VR Scout. Oh, no, that's the article I'm reading. It is, Zed. Do you know who's put a lot of money behind it? What gaming system?
Atari.
There
Atari
is
all behind this. They're all in, baby. I saw one of these horse races. They're beautiful. They're like Tron. They got the artistic, and people are buying these horses and selling these horses. And
the brace,
I'm telling you.
The brace around their face is like neon. In the races, huh? What do you call that? The harness?
I think it is a harness. I'll know this stuff once I become a horse czar. You know, right now I'm just trying to get in the game. I need Rygar's on the Jazz. That's the horse I want to buy.
Wait, do you get to name a horse?
Yeah, you name your horse, man. You can't have a race horse without naming it.
Okay. And here, there's the, that's what the horses look like right there. Yeah. I'll be darned. That's that. When is the next drop, or are you not allowed to talk about it?
I don't know. I'm assuming within the next 2 weeks. You have to have Ethereum, or however the hell you say that other coin. You need a little bit of that to get in on the game.
And it's Zed Runs AR Horses. Huh.
Yeah, baby. We're going to the tracks.
All right, so I just need to get signed up for this. What happened to the NBA Top Shot?
Well, that's still good. Yeah, it's still good. You're still making money there.
It's not oversaturated?
It is a little oversaturated. It's hard to get the rare drops, which is going to be the problem with these horses. You know, it's going to be hard to get a horse. But I'm hoping that because we're in on this early, the next drop is going to be a key drop, and everybody listening should get their coins ready, and they should get their horses because, baby, we are going to the tracks. We are making money off of these horses. This is the investment opportunity on the ground floor. This is in the beta stage of this game. And I'm telling you, you get one of these OG horses and you start studying them, pretty soon you're going to have, you know, you're going to be a famous horse czar. You're going to own your own horse empire, and it all starts with getting your first stud. So,
all right. Well, I'll be looking for a stud at any point. $40, the next drop. Do I need to follow something somewhere? Do you have alerts coming to you when this happens?
You need to be on the Discord. You need to sign up on their website. Look, maybe I'll get a stud and you get a bay, and then we can make a Larcher and Lawrenson baby.
Oh, and we could sell that baby.
We could sell it. We can race it.
You could trade them like that? You can trade them to produce?
Yeah.
To reproduce? I'm in.
Yeah, man. The heritage is important.
Yeah, I'm in. 100%. I'm ready to roll with that, my friend. You get the feeling I still don't quite get the whole thing, and that bothers you.
Who cares? Who cares? I don't get it. What do you need to get? The kids like racing things. It makes sense. Look at it like this. The kids are into non-tangibles, right? Like our generation, even the generation slightly behind us and everybody in front of us, we want things we could touch. Like you want to buy something, you want to have it. Video games. There's still people who hold on to video games. The kids, all they care about is this. They care about their phone and showing videos. So if I could go, hey, look, dude, look at my horse. I have this horse here. And then you get another thing where these kids like making money. They like investing. We didn't, you know, as kids, you didn't invest. These kids are into money, man. They get it. So now you have a horse and you go, hey, daddy, can I have $20? I want to race my horse in this race this weekend. Boom. You make $600. These kids are buying new horses. The kids get it. And if the kids get it, the adults get it because we have more money than they do right now. So we got to spend the money. We got to buy the horses. And we got to take over Zed. And we got to build a stable. Woo! We are going to have the four horsemen of stables. I'm going to have a Ric Flair horse. I'm going to have a Tully Blanchard horse. I'm going to have a the other guy horse. I'm going to have a J.J. Dillon horse. I'm going to have an Arn Anderson horse.
Woo!
I'm going to have a Sid Vicious horse, a Steve McMichael horse.
Sounds like it's going to happen. It's all – there's no way that it can fail, Al. I'm behind it, 100%. I just get to buy one horse on a drop, and that's if I get the drop. Is it a lottery? Is it a bullshit crapshoot just like that NBA stuff?
It is a lottery. It is a crapshoot. It is bullshit NBA stuff. I'm going to be on it. I'm going to let you know. You're going to be on it. You're going to let me know. We're going to make sure we get a horse. A horse is coming, baby. We are birthing a horse. We are in the birthing chamber of the future of the financial market. Kids today, they're not going to be playing stock markets. They're not going to be worried about Amazon. They're not going to be looking at what's happening with U.S. Steel. No, man. They're going to be worried about how Rygar's on the Jazz is performing in a race and the Sega 500, and they're going to have their money on it, man. This is the future. I'm telling you. It's all about the horse.
Do they care about the Dogecoin?
Yeah, because the Dogecoin, you trade your Dogecoin for some Ethereum, and then you use your Ethereum to buy your horses.
How about some beer for your horses?
Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my
day, son. Man had to answer for the wicked that he done.
One of Willie's finest. Right there.
Great. One of Toby's finest.
One of Willie's, my favorite Willie song.
If that's your favorite Willie Nelson,
that's not true.
You need to start learning some Willie Nelson.
It's a top 200 Willie song for me.
Top 200 Willie song. Absolutely. Hands down.
Hands down.
Can't argue.
Glad I got you on agreement with me there, partner. Oh, we're live at the Sports Attic on this fine Tuesday night or Wednesday morning from your commute to work or your commute from your bedroom to your couch. I've heard from all the fans listening on podcasts. They're still with us, Al. They've been with us since 2012, and they haven't stopped even with all of this video stuff.
Yeah, man. They are getting in on the future technology. Listen, they were with us when I didn't know how to play fantasy football, when I was just a guy who would come on these airwaves and lie and tell everybody they should do this, when I had no idea what I was talking about, till I became a draft king. And now, Clark, what is the king of sports?
What's that?
What is the king of sports?
The king of sports. It's football?
Horse racing, man.
Oh, horse racing.
See where we're going
horse
with
racing.
This?
Yeah, now I'm with you 100%. Horse racing, man.
In a year
Let's
from
go.
Now, this podcast is going to be about the genius of the king of kings moving from his fantasy football empire to his horse racing
And we're going to be in our high-tech studio on the 50th floor of some building somewhere.
We're going back to my roots, Clark. We're buying the 13th floor of the John Hancock. Boom. We're going to the cock.
By the whole floor. I don't think they call it the Hancock anymore. It's just known by the address. They've been trying to get in. Yes. It's just the cock.
875 North Michigan Avenue, my friend.
Yeah.
Sweet 1310, US 99 back in the 90s. That's where I started the radio.
That's the official name. 875, is that what you said?
875 North Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, that's where the Cheesecake Factory is.
Ugh. I used to leave that place at about 2 in the morning, and just as I was leaving, walking in with a new woman every night, dancing like Ric Flair. Woo! You know who it was?
Big John Howe. Chris Farley.
Former mayor of Cincinnati, Clark. Who was it?
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer, my friend. He'd come in, he'd be like, "Hey, Al, how you doing?" I'm like, "What's up, Jer?"
Did he know you?
Like, we run into each other every night.
And he knew you by name?
He didn't know. I don't think. I might be exaggerating on him knowing me by name.
So he was a bit of a ladies' man when he was running the show here in town.
Yeah, he definitely had a taste for the women.
I'll be darned.
But they had a taste for him. I don't know which. I tell you what, though. He's a guy who would own a racehorse.
Is he still making TV?
I don't know.
They went to Connecticut. You know, Steve did the spinoff, right?
Right.
And they went to Connecticut. Is that a show you ever did from the audience or anything? Did you ever go there for that?
I went to Springer and I went to Jenny Jones. I never did Wilco.
Springer is very much WWE. Like,
back then,
I've heard that the people in there were egging on the crowd to get you fired up. And I mean, everybody's kind of a bit of a work, right? Isn't it all a bit of a work up on stage?
Yeah.
With Springer?
Sure. I've been trying to, man, he was only mayor of Cincinnati for a year.
Really? I would have expected him to have a much larger tenure. I'll tell you who's going to make a long-term mayor, it seems like, is Kane. Oh, yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah, there you go. Mayor Kane. Oh, boy. I'm so excited. Well, you know, not only are races won by horses, good news for the Brits. You know, Sean British, he may be involved with this, but in New Japan, Jerry Springer used to use indie workers for segments. Hey, boom, there you go. Inside knowledge, Clark.
What's
Sean
that?
Says he used to use indie wrestlers for segments.
Sure. Yeah, that makes so much. Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
It's all a work.
No.
But big news coming out of New Japan. They've changed the titles. They have a new title.
We showed that on the show last week. There near the end, we talked about it. Checked out that new design that's a little controversial, right?
Right. And over the weekend, they had their pay-per-view. I believe it was Genesis, Sakura Genesis. And Kota Ibushi defended the title, the new title for the first time, against the aerial assassin, Will Ospreay. And, well, I think it's fine to say spoilers because it's what, a couple days out now?
Yeah, it is.
Will Ospreay, your new world champion, your new IWGP heavyweight champion.
Wow.
The first Brit to ever win the title. Only three of them, I believe, have even tried for it. I think William Regal being the first.
Yeah.
I don't know who the second one was. And then now Will Ospreay, the first one to actually win it. So congratulations. I've liked Will.
That's a fairly short run for Ibushi then, right?
Yeah, like, man, I don't know why. Like, I don't know if he's banged up but I don't feel like he got a really good shake with the whole thing.
And he just got it at Wrestle Kingdom, yeah?
Yeah.
So, I'll be darned. Solid match. I guess it went, what, about 30 minutes, Al?
Yeah, that seems about right. I mean, that's the typical for New Japan. It's about 30, 40 minutes for its world title match. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I didn't think Ospreay was going to win. I mean, I really didn't think Ospreay was going to win.
That's great.
I thought it was one of those where I thought it was kind of a given that, you know, Ibushi was going to hold on to that title for a while. And, you know, Ospreay's got his faction. and you know, Jeff Cobb's in it. The great O'Conn.
We've seen Jeff Cobb. We've seen, yeah.
He recently turned on his woman. He gave her an Oz cutter before the pay per view.
Oh no shit!
Before
okay.
the pay per view.
And wow, you know, many people might say that him and the young lady no longer being together. Maybe that's why he was able to study up and win the belt. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe she was a distraction.
I don't know. I'm not saying women are a distraction. I'm saying partners in general can be a distraction. Families can be a huge distraction. It can take up your whole life. It can.
Well, I mean, you got like 16 kids now, so I understand where you're
it's
coming
two.
From.
What do you have, 40 cats?
I have one cat. That's all you need. And I'm going to have about 40 racehorses in a couple weeks.
Man. Let me tell you, I'll never forget. So we had Hazel, and she was pretty young at the time. I mean, let me do the math real quick. She must have been like 5 or 6 months. Maybe she was a little older. No, 9 months makes more sense. Yeah, she was about 8 months. She handed me the pregnancy test. I was so surprised. I had my kids way too close together is what I'm getting at. 17 and a half months apart. Don't do that. Don't get another cat within the next 17 months, Al.
Oh, no. One's enough. Believe me. I can barely sleep at night with this cat.
Let me tell you something. The last, like, 3 days have been a lot better. Last week when we did a show, I was just about to the end of it. We were having a tough go. Tough time getting along. You know what I mean? So, but we're back. This week's going pretty well. And I guess I can announce it here, Al, that I will once again, it's official now.
Yeah.
I am soon to be a tour guide for all of the tourists coming to Chicago this year.
Well, I can't wait to. It's been a while since I've had a tour myself.
Do you want
to
come down and ride
on
the little scooters with me or what?
I might have to get on one of your little scooters and see the world, man.
So what I'm trying to say is if you want to take a Segway tour, hit me up, and we'll go do that.
You are the crown prince of tours. Like, I've heard stories about how good you are. So if anybody's visiting Chicago and they want to get a tour of the city, this guy knows what every star on that flag means.
I'm just happy on that flag on your arm right there, that tattoo. Do you remember?
Yeah, you've told me like 70 billion times over the course of doing this show. Uh-huh. I think every week we get a tutorial on the flag stars.
Well, we're not going to do that this week. We don't have
you have
to.
You have the Great Fire.
Yep.
The Columbian Exhibition.
Yep.
The World's Fair, and the 85 Super Bowl of the Chicago Bears.
Fort Dearborn. Not the 85 Super Bowl, but
Fort Dearborn.
Although we should, they should have added one for the Chicago Bears. There's no doubt about it.
They should have taken away one of those World Fairs.
Breaking news today at Wrigley Field: there's going to be a new statue. One Ferguson Jenkins gets a statue at Wrigley Field.
Ooh.
He's deeply honored to share this with family, friends, and teammates. But most of all, he shares this with you, the Cubs fans. There you go.
Did we thoroughly do a background check on Mr. Ferguson Jenkinson, because I want to make sure there's no skeleton. I don't want that statue being torn down.
I don't believe that we're in any danger of the Ferguson Jenkins statue being canceled.
Who is he? What did he do?
He was a pitcher. He had great pitcher. I got his John Hancock while I was out there at spring training for my dad, because he was one of my dad's favorite pitchers from back in the day. Yeah, nice guy. He's known for signing baseballs all over the place, so none of them that he signs are worth much. You know how that is, right? Like, if it's somebody who doesn't sign autographs, it's going to be worth a ton. If it's somebody who signs them all the time, it's not worth nothing. If I was a star athlete, I'd probably just sign everybody, because I don't want people hawking my autograph all over the place.
Well, he could now actually recreate the market for the Ferguson Jenkinson
digital card. The Fergie Jenkins digital card.
He could sign it, the statue of Ferguson Jenkinson.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Mm-hmm. Makes me proud.
I'm hoping one day outside of these studios they put a statue of me.
If they don't, I'll build one for you. I'll make it. Thank you. I'll make it out of Play-Doh. I got plenty of that around here.
No. I want a real statue, and I want it in the L. Archer Memorial Park.
I'll bring some tools. I'll chip it away. I know how to chip it. It'll be just fine. Larcher. Are you still burning the candles at both ends? Are you a night worker? Are you a day worker? What are you doing these days?
I do so much work. I should be, I don't know.
Since you have to work during night one of WrestleMania, is your plan to kind of just wake up early the next day or watch it when you get home? Your sleep schedule is way different. So I don't know. Like, when you get home now, you probably go to sleep a bit earlier than you used to.
Yeah, I mean, like, 3 is definitely my checkout time. Like, I couldn't watch the New Japan show live like I normally would.
Right.
So I may try to knock out, like, 2 hours of it, sleep, wake up, kill the other 2 hours. I don't know how long this thing's going to be. And then, maybe go over to your house. I don't know. If you're going to get some Joseph's Finest meats, I'll be there. Otherwise, you know, we'll talk.
Ooh. I'll absolutely get some Joseph Finest meats. My issue there, what do I have to do to cook it when I get it home?
Just throw it on a grill.
Throw it in a pot, throw it on the grill, whatever. I mean, I want to watch WrestleMania, and then I really want to watch what's after, actually, too. But
is that the big Chris Jericho interview?
Yeah, it is. They made sure to announce that, Al, the Jericho thing. The day after April Fool's Day, just to make sure.
Yeah, right? They should have actually done it on they should have released it on April Fool's Day, but, like, no, we're serious.
I agree, because I think that would have gotten a lot more people to talk about it, don't you?
Totally. It would have gotten, like, this weird buzz, like, is this real? This has to be fake.
Right, and then all you have to do is back it up for, like, the next few days, and everyone will be like, holy shit, this is legit.
You get 2 news cycles out of it where they only did one.
Like, right.
You know,
why don't they talk to you about this, Larcher? Why aren't we consulted before this? That's ridiculous. There it is. The tweet came out from WWE Network. They put it on all their social medias. It said, "No." It was the day after 11 a.m. on April 2nd. It says, no fooling around here. You're going to get it. I Am Jericho joined Steve Austin BSR on the next Broken Skull Sessions, premiering Sunday, April 11th on Peacock TV. Man, I kind of caught the story that Jericho, after seeing the last couple Broken Skulls, kind of hit up Steve and just said, hey, what about having me on? And he's like, shit, let me ask Vince. And he pretty much, I heard it was a text message from Austin. Hey, what do you think?
He said he texted Vince, and Vince is like, yeah, all right. And then he's like, sometimes Vince and I don't always – it's like you and me. We don't always see eye to eye on texting because you lose something in the translation.
Okay.
So he texted Vince again. He's like, no, really? Like, is this good? And Vince is like, yeah, I don't care. Dude, I think this is the surest sign. This is the first time I'm saying this. This is the surest sign that Vince is not worried about a war and that he's selling the company. And that I think this NBC deal is a test balloon. And I think in 4 years, probably Peacock buys WWE. But
no,
I think
shit.
He's totally selling. Wow. Like, this shit wouldn't happen if he was still, you know, hyper-focused Vince McMahon on just winning and ruling the wrestling world. Something doesn't smell right here. And it's not just the weed I'm smoking. I think for sure it's a sign that I think WWE is selling.
Okay. I have no reason to argue against that. It really seems like, I mean, obviously this is going to be a huge buy for this right here. I mean, I don't know if WrestleMania was going to sell it to as many people as it will have in Jericho on that show that night anyway, at least for a month. I mean, I do think that having Jericho on Broken Skull Sessions helps sell more tickets. Don't get me wrong. I think most people will buy because of WrestleMania. But I think you're going to get an add-on of a certain amount of buys because of Jericho being on. And then,
sure.
And then the hope is you can bring in a bit of a new audience. My issue here is I feel like anybody who had the network, and we touched on this last week, Al, you brought it up, is that this Peacock WWE network isn't going to have what the WWE network had that we have been used to since they brought it out 8 years ago or what have you.
They give it and they take it away, my friend. And once you've tasted the apple in the Garden of Eden of wrestling, and they've thrown you out of the garden, all you can do is make babies and buy horses now. There's no going back. Like, you know what you had, and it's gone. And I don't think it'll ever be the same. And I could cry right now. I mean, it is that devastating. I'm trying not to get too down on it. I'm not trying to, you know, worry too much about it. But, yeah, it's sad. It's they had something great there that is no longer. So,
yeah. I think it'll be real interesting for me to see, because I missed a lot of the heart of Jericho's WWE career. You know, I mean, I knew him in the first couple years in WWE, and I knew him in WCW. And then whatever we've seen of him the last 4 to 5 in WWE, when I first came back, when the network came out, I'm really interested in it. I think that Steve Austin does a great job. I think it's a solid show. We'll see what happens. It's on WWE's property, so who knows what they'll touch on and what they're allowed to touch on, but it looks like they already filmed it.
Yeah, I'm wondering how far back they actually recorded it. I'm devastated about the whole thing. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting interview. And, look, Steve Austin has proven he's really good at this interview stuff.
Yep.
He's prepared. He has good questions. You know, he gets into it with his guests. And we know Jericho can talk, and Jericho loves, much like myself, likes talking about himself. So.
Nope. See, they used that to tease it the day before, Al. They had a post out on April Fool's Day at 11 a.m., and it said 24 hours. And, of course, you know that that's the sound that they used when they first introduced Chris Jericho with the countdown.
You know who was there that night, right?
Yeah, The Rock was there. I think Little Al Larcher was there.
Yeah, Little Al Larcher was there for sure. I remember waiting on that countdown and The Rock being in the ring and that going off and Jericho coming out. And I'm like, this guy?
That was a huge pop, though.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think I remember knowing, like, everyone knew it was Jericho who was coming.
Oh, yeah, there were signs of. Somebody had a sign that said Millennium Man because it was the countdown, because it was the year of the big countdown to the millennium going on at that point.
That was my first radio shift.
And that was at the Horizon, huh?
Yeah, Rosemont Horizon, the historic. Man, I can't wait to get back in that building.
Hang on a minute. Was your first radio show, was it turning to the year 2000, New Year's Eve?
It was. It was, yeah.
And I mean, were there extra precautions that you guys took on the radio? Did you have memos coming down or what?
No one wanted to work it. I remember the engineer being certain that, like, nothing was going to happen.
Yep.
You know, we had the carts ready to go if something did. And I remember the program director coming in.
Could you translate that? You had the carts ready to go?
The carts were like plastic square things. They look like 8-track, if you know what an 8-track is. They were basically 8-track.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, all the elements of radio were on those 8-tracks, on those carts. So you had a cart machine. You would plug it in. It would play, you know, you could fire it off with a button on the board, and you had 2 or 3 cart machines, and you just would kept going.
Okay.
So, like, all the imaging and stuff was done through carts.
But y'all were already digital at that point? So you just had the,
like,
carts
the music,
as the backup? You guys were using what, like LimeWire or Napster or something at the time?
No, it was professional equipment.
Winamp?
It was probably, like, at that time, like $50,000 equipment that you can now get on, like, Spotify for free.
I mean, shit, but we're using it in our studios is what we're doing. No.
Yeah, I mean, this is far more advanced than that. Yes.
Right.
But it was new.
That's badass, Al. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Huh.
Those were the days.
And midnight came and went, and you were still alive. The building was still standing.
Everything was good. I wasn't on the air. I was just running. I was running the board.
Was it a national show that you were running at the time, or were you local?
I believe it was I believe it was a countdown show.
Yeah, like some national countdown.
Westwood One's top 100 country songs of 1999.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll start with a little Joe Diffie.
So what are you doing? Just you're queuing that up, and you're queuing up the commercials? to play? Is that what you do at that point? Or
you're basically like, if you're piloting, just like a control board was like piloting, because
yeah.
you actually have air. And let's just say it's on autopilot. Like, you're just making sure things are firing. You know, when Westwood One would come out of the queue, they'd be like, Westwood One, first in country. And as soon as, when you heard the re, boom, you'd push the button, and it would just start firing off, like, you're listening to US 99, and then it would click into the next element, which would probably be a commercial. And then at the top of the hour, you would hit the legal ID, and then you would pot back up the feed when it was, you know, the timing was like you had a two-minute block.
Yep.
But all the commercials were exactly timed out properly. So you would just pot it up. There'd be like a music bed playing, and you'd be ready to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to Live at the Sports Addict with Larcher and Lawrenson. You can join in on the fun, 760-454-8834, 760-454-8834. Thank you so much for joining us. The topic is anything that you want. We're currently discussing the very topical new millennium of 2000. So Chris Jericho, back to that point. He's going to be on Broken Skull Sessions after WrestleMania Night 2 on the Peacock Network, or the WWE Network, the Peacock WWE Network.
Well, I look forward to it. You got the Hall of Fame. I believe there's a takeover show tomorrow. I think there's a takeover show Thursday. Then you have SmackDown on Friday. And then you have WrestleMania 1 on Saturday, WrestleMania 2 on Sunday. Then you have the Raw after Mania on Monday. We are in the most exciting time for wrestling fans of the year, where there's a little bit of something for everybody the next couple of days. There's some independent shows going on you can follow, you can catch. Not a lot of them this year, obviously, but
right. Yeah, they're doing the WWE's taking the whole week this time, huh?
Yeah, the whole week of wrestling programming. I'm gonna pop on that Hall of Fame. I'm gonna cook up some sausages. Fire up that Hall of Fame when we're done here. Rygar and I are going to watch it. Man, it's fucking hot in here. You know, heat rises and I'm in an attic and it's too, I feel like it's just like a week too soon to pull the air conditioner out.
Yeah, we were discussing it last week. You didn't bust it out then, huh?
Still not out. And I just bought like a new, like, fancy fan. You can probably hear it. That's got a lot of power to it. And that's, let's me sleep at night, but, man, I feel heat in here. I feel heat.
I'm sorry, brother. At least you have the fan and everything. We haven't turned ours on yet. Our upstairs gets a little bit warm as well. So far, the windows being cracked does help. However, it's a sliding door in our room, and Monday morning, we were getting ready to head to the park, and I was getting dressed, and my kid walked out the door. We had it cracked, and all of a sudden she's standing on my balcony out there, which is fine, except there's stairs going down. So you just got to watch out for that. And then there's another toddler, another 4-year-old down the street that we had an Easter egg hunt for the neighborhood on Sunday. Well, the neighbor, she opened up the door, the 4-year-old, and walked out on her own to go do her own Easter egg hunt the next day. She only made it to her porch, but that's just something that, I mean, you don't know until it's there that the kid's now able to put the wherewithal to go outside. Hazel started doing that. She started coming downstairs on her own. She only comes down. I think she's still slightly scared of the basement, especially at night she is when it's dark. But in the daytime, she with the lights, she at least comes down now. If her iPad's over on the treadmill, she'll run down and go get it herself, which she gets in trouble for. She's not allowed to come to the basement by herself because this is the only finished room is my office.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's just getting more adventurous, and you don't know until you know. So now we're keeping the door to the basement locked a little bit more. I've had to move my stash of THC and marijuana and what have you up to a higher level.
That's good.
Not that she'd be able to figure it out. Watch out for Hunter Biden. Uh-oh, he's got laptops. Keep an eye out. Woo! 760-454-8834 to join. Anyway, yeah, I started locking down the marijuana and what have you.
Yeah, because God knows if she finds it, no doubt she's going to roll the perfect little joint.
Yeah, she's going to know how to use this, too. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Going to
yeah.
watch Frozen. Yeah, no, I get it. It's, you know, these
let it
times.
Go, let it go. Can't hold me back anymore.
Clark, please do not sing Frozen on this show.
Okay. What?
We have standards and regulations, and that just goes.
Any song from Frozen?
Yeah, no.
How about
you can't
like,
do Love Is an Open Door.
Whoa! Do people sing that? It, Todd?
Yeah.
Love Is
yeah,
an Open Door?
I hear fucking Frozen every
Son
night
of
my life.
Bitch. I was going to come in there, and I was going to be like, Al's finally going to be happy. He's not hearing Let It Go. Lauren and I are going to come in and knock Love Is an Open Door out of the park, blow his mind. But I also said this to Lauren because I brought this up. We were in their road trip, in our big road trip. I brought it up to her. I go, what's going to happen is we're going to come in thinking that we're all awesome and everything. He's really like, I hear that one all the time too, a-hole.
Yeah, another one everybody thinks is original. They all think this is the first time it's ever been done, and I should be, like, excited that they've thought of this. We're going to do Shallow, but he's going to sing the girl parts, and I'm going to sing the boy parts. Everybody does it.
Everybody all the time has done the gender role switch. It's always happened. It was one of my go-tos for a while when I was running it. I feel bad that I lost the touch to be able to know right off the bat that you already would have known a song like Love Is an Open Door. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
What about In Summer or Some Things Never Change? Or how about Lost in the Woods? So many good songs. I've got Frozen 2 soundtrack on vinyl, my friend. I can hear it better than you've ever heard it on your karaoke's.
Oh, my God. Okay. You think, like, you legitimately think that's a good soundtrack?
Oh, Frozen 2? You don't know the Frozen 2 soundtrack. It's fantastic.
Wow, we lost Clark. I just want to go on record that today, April 6th of 2021, after
we
surviving months of the pandemic, we've officially lost Clark Lawrenson to the Frozen.
But I'm lost in the woods. I don't know which way to go.
I pulled up next to a dude today lost singing. He straight up, he was like, I don't know, like 30 years old, like a construction guy. He was in his car and he's just straight up, everybody.
Oh, man. We were at the park out in Kirkland on Easter and there's a merry-go-round and I was just standing on it and it's spinning. And this Harley comes down the street and they're slowing down and they're turning. There's a guy and a gal on it and he goes, look at that fucking guy. I just turned and gave the peace sign, and they laughed like a bastard. It was pretty fun. I think it was kind of a wink at each other, like, I get it.
What, because you look like a guy who just came from a Bernie Sanders convention?
Is that what I look like?
You're meathead. Everyone knows you're meathead.
What makes you think I look like I was at a Bernie Sanders?
Oh, look at the blue little button.
The
down,
KFC
the
guy? The guy with the chicken?
The beard?
No, I'm not the colonel. Come on. The colonel doesn't look like this.
Those shades just reek of, the far left conspiracy.
Oh, yours reeks of the far right conspiracies there, too.
I look like a guy who can land a plane in an emergency situation.
Where are you landing your plane?
The Hudson.
The Hudson. Oh, all of a sudden Sully over here. Look at him. There's Sully rocking. I'll tell you what Sully wasn't doing. He wasn't smoking the marijuana, Al.
I don't smoke marijuana when I'm on a plane.
Or when you're flying it, I would hope.
Hell no.
Could you ever be a pilot?
No, I had LASIK.
Wait, hang on. If you've had LASIK, you can't be a pilot?
Yeah, legitimately, you cannot. They tell you. Like, you know, I was like 20. I was early 20s. They're like, listen, if you get LASIK, one of the things are you can never fly a plane. You can never join the Air Force or be a pilot. I said, you know what? I'm going to take this calculated risk, and I'm going to get the LASIK and not be a pilot. I stand by my decision.
What year was that?
Like 2001. You know, they probably thought it was right after 9/11. I was probably going to join the Air Force and save the world.
According
they
to
do.
The U.S. Air Force frequently asked questions, applicants
yes.
who have undergone correction of visual activity or acuity by photorefractive kerotometry, PRK, or laser-assisted stromal surgery may be considered 1 year from the date of operation. Note that corrective eye surgery may disqualify applicants for pilot or other specific roles. There you go.
Yeah.
There it is. It seems like the FAA requires that civil airmen with this procedure discontinue flying until their eye care specialist has determined that their vision is stable. Okay. So it looks like it has become more lax. I think, I mean, we've had 20 years for this to come around, right?
Very common surgery now, so I would think so. I was on the forefront of it, like I'm on the forefront of cyber races.
Of cyber horse racing.
Cyber horse
Atari's
racing,
Atari's
yeah.
put a lot of money behind it. A good company that's strong, that's been around for a long time, like Atari. That's what I want to get behind. Zed,
Mark, you are going to be so jealous of my thoroughbred.
I'm coming in. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to get ahead of you. I'm going to trump you. You're going to be like, that son of a bitch, he got me. I lost my bracket, Al.
Yeah, most people did.
I mean, except for the people that won.
Well, those are limited. How many people play in a tournament usually?
The pool I was in had like 60 entrants.
60, okay.
Yep. And,
so one in six you tend to win it.
Michigan's loss last week got the best of me. Hey, remember what you said to me, Al? I got a bone to pick with you. When Michigan, last week you brought it up on the show, when Michigan got beat by UCLA, I was talking about how good of a team that UCLA was. You came in and said, I don't know, an 11 seed beating a 1 seems like it shouldn't have happened, some shit like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know that UCLA team went and dominated in their final, they didn't dominate. But they played one hell of a game against the undefeated Gonzaga team. It was probably the best game of the year Saturday night. On a half-court shot.
Beautiful half-court shot. They timed it perfectly.
After watching that game, Al, like, I expected that shot to go in, and it was unreal. They were making so many shots. That UCLA-Gonzaga game was fantastic. And then last night's game ended up being a bit of a dud. Baylor just whooped the shit out of Gonzaga. The underdog won it again.
I'm sure you've had this happen before in your history of karaoke, but there were two dudes on the stage who didn't want to be singing, whose girlfriends totally pushed them up there, and they were singing like a duet, and in the middle of the duet, everybody is cheering and going crazy.
The shot went in.
Oh! And they think for a second, you see the joy on their face as they think, oh my God, everybody is into my singing at this moment. And then like a minute later, they realize, oh, they're actually not paying attention at all. They're watching the basketball
They're
game.
Watching the Final Four. That's amazing. I thought it was a fun tournament. That Saturday night game was the best game of the tournament, but
that was great. It was a great game.
Big news, the local coach, Porter Moser, who brought Loyola out of the depths, brought him up.
Yep.
Spent 10 years there building that program up with two really solid runs, one Final Four run, and then another good run this year. Got the money. I mean, he made some money. To go over to he's now over there with Oklahoma is who gave him the money. From what I hear, money wasn't an issue. They were going to pay him whatever he wanted.
Well, you don't go to Oklahoma unless someone's paying you a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, Cleveland, yes, terrible, horrible place. But Oklahoma's just boring, man. They made a whole musical out of that fucking state. And you know how boring musicals are.
I've been in a musical or two. Music Man. I was in the Music Man. Guys and Dolls. Brigadoon. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Wizard of Oz. That's about where the Carnival. I was in a show called Carnival, not Carousel. Carnival.
This whole time you've been doing a show with a Hall of Fame EFED legend. Well. Little did I know you were this Broadway czar. Wow. I've been on stage with you hundreds of times, and I never knew you were. Why didn't we do musical numbers?
Music Man, we did some musical numbers back in the day. Patrick wrote a couple. We did a few. They obviously didn't go so well, but. Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies. That was from the Music Man. Barbershop Quartet. Let's go. We're going to leave you now. Come on, man.
Dude, musicals are so boring. The only good, there was one good musical, and that was the Blues Brothers. Since then, they've all been garbage. Oh, the Blues Brothers, too.
Oh, Jesus.
Do
I want to turn it on just to confirm what you're talking about? What happened? Like, can you explain how you ended up on Blues Brothers 2000? And just off memory, it's the Brother Belushi, Jim, with Dan Aykroyd and a little bit of John Goodman. They were like a trio of Blues Brothers. How did you decide to watch Blues Brothers 2000? What happened?
Well, you see, I came home from work and it was like two in the morning. And on the independent film channel or one of these film channels where they run the same movie over and over, the damn Blues Brothers 2000 was in the loop. And I caught the last 10 minutes of it. The first 5 minutes of the last 10 minutes, I got the biggest douche chill I have ever got down my spine. And I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot how embarrassing this is. I forgot how bad this is. I forgot what a tarnish this was to the legacy of Chicago, to the legacy of motion pictures,
to the legacy of
music.
What?
Lord. This piece of trash was so embarrassing. I don't even think I can respect the Blues Brothers anymore. I think it's over. I think I'm done.
No.
I just picture that horrible movie. I can't wash it out of my eyes. Now, I saw it in 2000, so I guess there is a point where you could block it out of your brain, but
I remember thinking it was great. I just don't remember wanting to cancel Blues Brothers out of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, go back and watch it now. Cause like as a kid, there was like a little bit of nostalgia where now you'll just be like, what am I watching? This is so embarrassing.
You shared a picture of the three Blues Brothers. It must've included Goodman, Brother Belushi, and Aykroyd, right?
Well, there's the kid. There's a little kid.
They added a kid.
They added Cab Calloway, I think, his kid or something of that nature. And then there's Aykroyd, who's just like a bartender, they find. And then there's,
Wait, Aykroyd didn't play the same character?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. John Goodman plays the bartender. And then there's Aykroyd. And, I mean, it is just what they could have done. They had so much talent in that movie. They had so many musical legends and Travis Tritt. And they could have taken all of those people and done like a benefit concert in character. They could have been like, hey, this is Elwood Blues, and I'm here with my friend, Fat Guy Goodman role. And we're doing a concert of the best blues legends. We're remembering Jake Blues, and we're raising money for Mother Cabrini's orphanage. And they could have had like a cool concert movie that would have been fine. It would have been fantastic. It would have been, you make it 3 hours, so it's not a movie. It's a concert movie. And I'm telling you, doing it today. Instead, they put out of absolute diarrhea. And this is like, if the Queen of England ate at the Harlem and Irving Mall Popeyes and got food poisoning, the shit coming out of her ass is exactly what the Blues Brothers 2000 is. Like, no question.
That just makes me a little bit just upset. And I'm wrong there. Why did I remember that the Brother Belushi was in it? He wasn't. It was Goodman in Calloway's kid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that for you, but man, 46% on Rotten Tomatoes, Al. 46%. Now that's actually like I was kind of expecting worse because some movies get really knocked down. So it came out in '98, and written by Dan Aykroyd and John Landis. I mean, music was by Paul Schaefer. I mean, it had everybody that you'd think you'd want to be able to revamp.
The music was fine. The music interludes were very good. Like they were well done. They were fun. They were what the Blues Brothers should be. But the movie around it was such hot trash. It would be like if Sister, what's the lady from Loyola?
Sister Jean.
If Sister Jean went to the Popeyes in Harlem and Irving Plaza and got food poisoning, the shit that comes out of her is exactly what this movie would be.
Yeah. All right. Well, why were they green?
Because the bag lady, what's her name? She does bag lady, Tyrone. Call Tyrone.
I don't know.
Erica Badu? Erica Badu. Badu plays a witch, the Witch of New Orleans, and she uses some voodoo, some Papa Shango magic, and turns them into zombies, green zombies, because they said they don't play Caribbean music.
I have a trivia question for you. Did Blues Brothers 2000 make money?
I'm going to say no.
Blues Brothers 2000 had a budget of $31 million. The domestic box office gross, $10 million. Half.
Not only was it a piece of shit, it was a money-losing piece of shit.
But overseas, $18 million.
It's because they don't know. They didn't know any better.
So it damn near broke even. And now watched it again. In the last 20 years, that movie's made money. So it is a plus at this point.
That is so embarrassing.
I'm sorry to let you know. It did make money.
And people listening, and they're not from Chicago, and they're of a certain age, maybe they've never seen The Blues Brothers, one of the greatest Chicago movies.
Watch that movie. Watch that movie. Visit Chicago. Come take a tour with me and watch that movie.
Come sing karaoke with me. Go on a little scooter tour with Clark.
Scooty Q.
And boom, you got Chicago cover.
What else do you need to do? Nothing. Done.
Nothing. So WrestleMania this Saturday and Sunday.
Let's do it.
An event so magnificent, so strong, so spectacular, they couldn't contain it to a single night. So you get two nights of WrestleMania. And Saturday night you're looking at Lana and Naomi versus Dana and Mandy Rose versus the Riot Squad versus Natalya and Tamina.
And the winner gets a WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match on night two.
Wow. That's really all there's to say about that.
And that'll be Nia and Shayna, who are the champs. On night two, we'll take on the winner of Tag Team Turmoil.
I feel like they're building Nia and Tamina up.
Do they just need one member of a team gets pinned and it's over, I would hope?
I think that's how the turmoil works, yeah.
I would gather.
And I think turmoil means there's no tags. Is that right? Or is that a tornado? That might be a tornado. I get all the marketing terms confused.
Yeah, I don't know what turmoil means, and the link won't take me to. Much like a singles match, tag team professional women's wrestling matches can be have it forms. Singles match, tag team match. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's a match. Like, that's where you go to the bathroom, make sure the cheese dip is getting heated up, and then sit back, relax, fire up the color TDs, and watch the sights and sounds as they fly him through the air, as the great Swiss genius Cesaro steps in the ring with your wife's favorite wrestler, Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
In what should be a magnificent show, especially if they give those guys some time to perform. And,
Seth Rollins, you just got to head over on Route 80, 80 or 88, over there to the Quad Cities. That's where he's from.
Right. He bought his electric car, though, here in Chicago. He loves Chicago.
Big Bears fan.
Big Bears fan.
Big Bears fan.
So
you always got to pull for Seth Rollins. Guys, it's WrestleMania. If you're not the regular wrestling watcher, come watch it. We'll be around on the social media and stuff. Last year, Al, we came up with a big group to watch. Well, we were sitting in the middle of quarantine, and you had a big group that watched it together via chat.
Yeah. We had a little nice – what is that thing? messenger chat thing.
Yep.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll do that on night two. I mean, I won't be available night one. But then again, maybe I'll be with you. So who knows? But
who does know?
Yeah, I think it's just that's going to be a really good match. I think that's going to be a really good match. And
Al, when I have you over for that, if I pick up the stuff from Josephina's Meats, I just don't want to fuck up. Like, last time it took me way too long to cook all that chicken and stuff. I went too far. I tried too hard to make something too large. So if I can go to Joseph Finest Meats for Italian beef and things like that, and it's fairly simple, let's do that.
Yeah, you just heat up sausage. I don't know, like, this isn't brain surgery.
You want me to go there and get sausage and heat it up?
That's probably the easiest. Like, if you end up doing steak or something, it gets expensive, and then it has to be perfect.
Sure.
You know, you just get some sausage and boom. Maybe a pork chop, I don't know.
All right. Sure. What do you think?
You got a grill, right?
I do have a grill.
You have a meat thermometer yet? Because you're going to need a meat thermometer.
I've got a meat thermometer that gets the job done, but I want one that, you know, that is remote controlled and, you know, you use
no.
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't need that. You just need a nice digital readout on a meat thermometer.
Yeah, I can get that covered. That'll be fine.
So,
what else? Braun Strowman.
Oh, wait. Before we get that, because we're probably going to have to do some gambling. So there's going to be the great Cesaro swing, where he's going to swing Seth Rollins. You know what I'm talking about, the swing?
I know, yeah. The airplane.
How many rotations? I'm setting the over and under at 20.
20?
Yeah, I think he did 20. He did a lot on Raw the other day.
Ooh. I feel like I've got to take under.
All right, I'll take the over.
20 seems hopefully, like a large, large number.
Hopefully we'll have some gambling sheets for the big game on Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Maybe I'll make that up tonight. Maybe I'll do one.
Please do.
So then you got in a match I know you're clamoring for. This is the one you're excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon. Now, Shane McMahon, the exact same age as Gerald Briscoe was, when he was one of the stooges, one of Vince McMahon's stooges.
Crazy.
Going up against an enormous man. That basically, they're giants. He's not quite a giant. We'll get to the giant, actual giant guy later. But as a matter of fact, we'll get to him in the next match. But Braun Strowman, a big power lifter, a specimen, 6'8", 385 pounds of pure North Carolina beef. Going up against Shane McMahon, the son of the owner of the company, who's called Braun Strowman an idiot, stupid, for the last couple of weeks.
He's just dumb, so he can't wrestle because he's dumb. Shane's going to outsmart him in the match, right?
Well, we'll see. Braun decided he got to choose a stipulation. He wanted it in a steel cage, and that's what we're going to get.
So he's just going to throw him all over the damn place. Let's see.
Right.
Yep. And then your next match, the tag team match for the Raw Tag Team Championship. The New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos. The Nigerian-born American professional wrestler and former college basketball player.
Stands 7'3", weighs in at 335 pounds, a specimen of a human being, a spectacle to see, a guy you're not going to want to miss, a true walking giant in 2021, and he's teaming with the most phenomenal wrestler of all time, AJ Styles, former IWGP champion, former world champion, former United States champion, one of the great wrestlers of a generation, AJ Styles. So,
you played college basketball at the University of South Florida. And he also played at Morgan State University after transferring from USF.
And then he joined
the WWE. They signed him and six other athletes at the WWE Performance Center on October 17th of 2018. Did you see him there at all? Did you watch him at NXT?
No, I don't think they really used him in NXT. I think he skipped it.
Appearing as the tallest member of the faction, he was in the ninja faction with Akira Tozawa. Basically just stood ringside for a match, and then they pretty much just brought him up soon after that. Oh, he was the bouncer for Shane's Raw Underground. Was the first time you saw him on Raw.
He's been on TV, but he's never wrestled. This is, I believe, the first time he's going to be in a televised match.
Yeah, he's been AJ's bodyguard for a while, right?
Right. So can he wrestle? Probably not. We know the great history. Oh, man, I can't wait to hear the great Khali speech tonight. Woo, boy, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That one's to please fans with money, right?
No, great Khali. It's nothing to do with money.
No?
No. Are you talking about, like, the Saudi shows?
No, like, just to please the crowd, the Middle Eastern crowd, to make them happy. Like,
actually, Clark, India is in Asia.
What does he have? Oh, okay.
So,
thank you. What does he have? What are his credentials?
He's big. He's very big. He's bigger than big. He's a giant.
He's great. He's the great Khali.
No, I mean, look, in wrestling, there are spectacles. There are attractions. There are people you see. It goes back to the days of the circus. And there are guys who were in the sideshow. You know, Andre the Giant. Although he was an actual wrestler, made a life out of being a wrestler. He wasn't like a great wrestler because he was a giant. All he had to do was show up and people had to go, wow. Look at that guy. That guy's a giant. I've never seen anybody that big in my life.
He's 2 inches shorter than Amos at 7'1".
Yeah. Assuming that Amos height is real, which maybe it is because it came from basketball. Do they fudge the numbers in basketball?
Yeah. Yeah, they're usually a little taller in basketball.
Okay.
World Championship Wrestle, not quite like they do in WWE, of course. But I didn't know he was in World Championship Wrestling until he got bought. He was there for 8 months. Then he went to New Japan, and he didn't come to WWE until he was in the Deep South in 2006.
You know, maybe the dude could wrestle.
Maybe.
Or are you talking about Khali?
Khali.
Okay, I thought it was Almas.
Oh,
like,
no,
wow.
No.
I was like, man, he's older than I would have guessed.
His filmography includes The Longest Yard, Get Smart, MacGruber, Kushti, Rama. Oh, he started doing some Bollywood stuff the last few years. There it is.
And I think he's one of the great trainers in India. Like,
yeah.
No question the guy was a shitty wrestler. I mean, like, no one's arguing that.
Right.
But he was a specimen. I mean, people paid money to see him. I don't know.
And then?
That, if anybody can beat Corona, it's the great Khali.
Wait, does he have Corona?
No, but I think he could end Corona. Like,
oh,
I bet you he can find
he
a way
it.
To fix it. Like, you put Khali in a match against Corona, I think he's winning.
Okay. So then we've got a little bit of celebrity stuff going on, huh?
Right. My essay.
In this match since last week has been changed. Where originally it was going to be a singles match between Bad Bunny and The Miz, right?
Right.
And now it's going to be a tag team match with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and John Morrison.
Yeah, Bad Bunny had his Bugatti vandalized, his $3.2 billion Bugatti.
Who did that?
$1 billion.
Who did
billion
that?
Dollars.
Who did it?
Miz and Morrison. They put fake paint all over it. It was terrible.
Ugh, awful. Ruined it. Ruined it for
and
good.
And the announcers mentioned it was a $3 million Bugatti about 12 times.
Yep. So you knew how much it was worth?
And the paint, the fake paint just looked terrible. It looked like...
Really?
It looked like all they had to do was run it through a car wash and the car was fine, but... I mean, it was still ballsy, you know, to mess with the dude's car. And this is a former 24/7 champion, Clark. You know, you can't make Bad Bunny.
He held the title for quite a while.
And you know, he has won the Grammy Award for Best Latin Pop Album.
Oh.
Big star. I mean, I play his music.
He brought the belt onto what's it called?
Saturday Night Live.
Onto SNL.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paint does look pretty terrible, Al.
Yeah, it does, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing. You just wiped that off in seconds later is what you did. But they wrote Miz and Morrison on it. They drew a little bunny.
Hey, hey, hop, hop.
Yep. Is Booker T going to do a run-in?
Oh, because he has a song called Booker T. All right, we'll put that on the betting sheet.
All right, put it
that's
in.
Good question. I don't know. I would say no. I mean, I think that's a long shot, but that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I'd say long shot for sure, at the very least. Or at the very most.
I mean, he did. That's how this whole thing started, was with a Booker T song.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so that match is pretty it's a spectacle of a different kind. It's a celebrity match, and we're not in the demographic of the celebrity, so you know, I don't have a lot of interest in it,
right?
But I'm curious to see how bad it could be.
Well, yeah, I mean, what are you thinking on that? Just he's what if he's been training for quite a few years though?
You think secretly Bad Bunny in his lair somewhere in Puerto Rico?
Maybe he spent like 4 months. I don't know.
Listen, maybe Bad Bunny is really a like famous, skilled luchador who. On the weekend, does his Bad Bunny. He goes around and he sings and he plays clubs. But then at other times, he puts on the mask, disguises his identity, and he's really this great luchador. We don't know. That's the beauty of luchadors.
There it is. Yeah. And there's
Puerto Rican wrestling versus Mexican wrestling are very different. Puerto Rican wrestling was based more in like hardcore violence, like what ECW became. Was really, really kind of started in the Puerto Rico territories. It's where, what's his name, got murdered. Bruiser Brody got shanked in the showers.
Okay.
Where, of course, Mexican wrestling's based more on the flippity stuff, the luchador style. The 2 out of 3 falls, which your wife loves. At,
yeah.
And lenient tax.
Wait, where were we? Lashley? McIntyre?
Should be interesting. Should be really interesting. I don't know who wins. I really don't. And Bobby Lashley's been pretty good as champion. You know, he still has a hard time talking. He still has a hard time with promos.
Yep.
He's just kind of awkward when he, especially has to deliver like scripted stuff. But when he just kind of talks, he's all right.
Okay.
But he always looks like a kid in a play who forgot his lines.
No.
And then Drew McIntyre, who's really good on the mic, he almost comes off a little too cliche for me, but I see why people like him. Was a good champion, and he hasn't had a live crowd to witness him as champion, and it would make sense to go back to him in front of a live crowd. But, man, let's say Lashley wins, and then Lesnar comes out and challenges. Man, that's a WrestleMania moment right there. So sure. There's a couple ways this could go, and I think that's cool. I'm excited for this match, and I think I might be on Team Lashley, but I don't know. There's something about Drew that just doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
But yet I see why people like him, and yeah. I don't dislike him or feel he shouldn't be the world champion.
Right. That's good. I'm excited to see it. You've told me that Lashley's. His in-ring stuff has improved quite a bit.
Well, he's always been a pretty good in-ring guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big dude. He's a powerhouse. And he's got that background, like, you know, like Lesnar. I mean, the guy could go.
Yeah.
It's just his mic skills have never been all that wonderful.
Okay.
So, But with MVP now kind of picking up that slack, I mean, I think the package is, it's a full package, and I like it.
It's not the total package, right?
Nor is it a small package.
That's
right.
True.
It's somewhere between it's all package and a small package.
Okay.
A total package and a small package.
That's good. That'll work. Sasha Banks is the champion of SmackDown, and she's taking on the challenger, Bianca Belair.
Yeah, I don't know if this is really the main event or should be the main event.
They aren't calling it the main event, though, or anything, are they?
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of said this is probably going to be the match that finishes the show.
Whoa.
And, you know, and I get the optics of it. You have two strong African-American women competing over a world title. They're both extremely talented, and, you know, it looks good. And it's a nice PR moment, and you know it's a good moment for wrestling. But I mean, I think the build of the Drew McIntyre Bobby Lashley match has been a lot better,
yeah.
And I'm more intrigued. I'm more interested in that match than this match, where this has just been weird, man. Sasha Banks is a weird character. You know, she's talented in the ring, but she just comes across so unlikable, and you don't know if she's playing a heel or if she's supposed to be unlikable, because she's also kind of like, you want to like her.
Right.
I mean, she's somebody who's loves wrestling, and she just, I don't know. And then Bianca Belair is tremendous. I mean, she's everything Sasha isn't. Like, she has that charisma that you want to like her, and she's likable. And she's talented in the ring, and she's an athlete. And, I mean, it seems like it's going to be a good moment for her to win that title. And I guess that's a feel-good moment they want to go home on WrestleMania. And I get it. I just don't know that it's as interesting as they think it is. And it's not the women's fault, somewhat. I mean, Sasha's just odd. Like, it's almost like Kenny Omega syndrome, where I don't know how to take her. I like her. I love her in ring work, but something about the character I just don't connect with. And, I don't think I'm alone in that opinion. I think other people kind of feel that same way about her. You know, she's good. She's bad. She's good. She's kind of got that whole Big Show deal where, I mean, she's constantly swapping between a face and a heel. But, again, I get the moment, and it should be a good match. And hopefully Sasha doesn't hurt herself and try to do something too dangerous. But it definitely should be the opener, the semi-main event, or the closer. I mean, it qualifies, but I do think the Drew and
I thought
Bobby,
I heard that it could be the opener. I thought, did you say that last week? I don't know.
I didn't say that, but I could see it being the opener too.
Okay.
They kind of do that where they put it one of the main events in the opening slot.
Yeah.
That's pretty common for them. So.
So that's night one. Those are all of the announced matches for night one.
They are the night one matches. Yep.
This Saturday night, April 10th. And then Sunday night, April 11th. The second half of the card.
Yeah, Jax and Baszler are going to go up against whoever wins that turmoil match. Nothing to say there.
We already said
Nia's growing on me a little.
Okay.
I will say that.
Is she getting a little safer out there? Are people giving her the benefit of the doubt?
That might start being the joy of watching her matches. It's like, oh, my God, is she going to hurt somebody this week? I definitely stopped to see if, like, oh, my God, how dangerous she is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that wasn't too bad. Yeah, she looks like she's safe tonight. So, and Baszler, you know, tough. I really like Baszler. I wish she's somebody I wish was in one of the main events. I wish they would have built her in that way because she was fantastic in NXT. But she definitely, you know, she's in the tag team with Nia. They're the tag team champions. So, I mean, it's very WWE of them and very WWE booking. And I feel like they fumbled her a little bit, but, you know, it's good. And now Reginald's kind of their manager. I like the package. They've grown on me, like I
all
said.
Right. All right. That's fine. What match you want to talk about next?
Well, why don't we just run through these in order?
Okay, let's go. It's a singles match for the WWE United States Championship. Your champion is Riddle versus Sheamus. He's no longer Matt Riddle. He's just Riddle.
Yeah. He's just Riddle.
Yeah, bro. Riddle,
just
bro.
One name.
Riddle. Bro.
Bro. He's like, bro.
Bro. Brosive or just bro?
Just bro. Just bro. I like Matt Riddle. I like the concept of Sheamus, but I generally just don't like Sheamus. And,
never have, huh?
Yeah, I've always liked Riddle. I've always been kind of a Riddle mark. So I'm going to go with the OG bro, and I'm gonna take Riddle over Sheamus.
Yeah.
And
yep. I mean, Sheamus has been around for a long time.
Yeah. And if I was putting money on it, I would guess Sheamus actually wins. But
yeah,
I'm going with my prediction with my heart.
Good.
And yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So you're taking Riddle?
I'm taking Riddle.
Do you want Riddle or Sheamus, Hazel? Riddle or Sheamus? Sheamus, she says. She's taking Sheamus on that one. Good job.
That was more of a coherent answer than I've ever gotten when asking Clark a question on text.
Thanks. Can you say hi, Al?
Hi, Al.
What's up, Hazel?
He says hi. He says have
little
a
hazelnut.
Yep. Oh, hang on. She's sorry, but hang on. Here, real quick.
Good night, Al.
Good night, Hazel.
There you
sweet
go.
Dreams, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, dream about ponies. Tell your daddy you want a horsey.
No.
You'd be like, Dad, I want a horse. No? All right. Well, you have a good night.
Okay.
All right. These conversations get you. Yo, really, you know.
Sleep well, okay?
I lose focus. The kid loses focus.
Good night. Bye. Have a good night. Bye.
I told her she should get a. She should ask you for a horse, Clark. She had a pony.
I heard you, and she knows that that's a bullshit thing to ask for, so she didn't respond.
Really? I also heard that she wasn't happy. She didn't have the biggest dollhouse on the block.
Oh,
so I think she's a girl who knows she needs a horse.
Thank you for not telling her. You know, we got her a heck of a big dollhouse, but the neighbor down the street got one much bigger. She doesn't touch hers. Such a pain in the ass.
Oh, kids.
Yeah, Sheamus. He's Sheamus, you know. 43. Wow. He must have started, I mean, what's he been there for, like 25 years?
He's older than us?
Yeah.
Holy
Sheamus?
Crap.
I mean, he's been there forever. He was there before I stopped watching wrestling. When did he start? Like,
no.
Oh, 2006 is when he
first appeared. Yeah, I was going to say, Sheamus popped in when I was gone. So
Sheamus O'Shaughnessy. Sheamus O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah, Sheamus O'Shaughnessy.
But he was there for like 10 years that we didn't watch. Something like that. How many times has he won a championship?
I feel like once, maybe twice.
I don't know. Hang on.
I know. I hate when they don't just put the titles.
Yeah, it's fucking like Wikipedia gets you, doesn't it?
Like they're athletes.
Man.
3-time WWE World Champion.
There you go.
No. Hold on. Let me read the whole set.
So
that's becoming part of the main roster. He went on to become a 4-time world champion, okay, having the WWE title 3 times and the world heavyweight title once.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was a big deal just when I wasn't watching.
Right.
I think he was always kind of a transitional champion, probably Cena taking the title from him a lot, Randy Orton. But, yeah, I've just never been a big Sheamus fan.
Well, and they've been trying to figure out what exactly to do with him. They move him around from different places.
Yeah.
They try a lot of things with him. He gets booed a lot.
Well, he's not likable. He definitely has that lack of charisma. But it works for him. I mean, I think he generally plays a heel, and he plays a heel well. So.
And you're taking Riddle?
Yeah, I'm taking Riddle. Okay. Like I said, I think they're actually building Sheamus up. for a title shot. Although he just kind of went through that. I don't know. But yeah, my heart says Riddle. My checkbook says Jameis, but I'm going Riddle.
Okay. What do you think about Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn? Oh, he's got Logan Paul in his commercial. Logan Paul, of course, of YouTube fame, the boxer.
Do you actually know who Logan Paul is?
Yeah, he's the YouTube guy. He made a lot of YouTube videos. He took some shit for some things. He's appeared on different TV shows, and he boxes people.
I honestly have no idea who he is, but I accept the fact that people know who he is, and he seems pretty popular, so, you know.
I think he makes a lot of money based off of how many people know him.
Okay. Oh, he did the suicide, and yeah, he went to that. I know who this is. I know of that story.
Wait, which one? He went to a suicide?
So in Japan, there's a forest everybody kills themselves in. It's known as the suicide forest.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he did something with that. I remember that controversy. I don't even remember what the controversy was. I just remember going, oh, that guy's a shithead. But you know what? You do these videos. You do these podcasts. You do these things. You're bound to say something that's going to offend somebody or not be,
yeah,
you know. So I don't know. I don't know who he is. I'm not going to judge him. I'm just going to say,
hey. December 6, 2020, it was announced that Paul would fight Floyd Mayweather Jr. in an exhibition February 20th, 2021. The fight was postponed to an unspecific date.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, that's it there. That's all I got on him.
People all right, won't. So I think this is another one like the night before with Cesaro and Rollins. I think this is one that could steal the show. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Obviously, you've seen this match 1,000 times, but this is WrestleMania. Logan Paul, I think, is going to turn on Sami Zayn.
Sure.
And somehow is going to help Kevin Owens win the match. But it's going to be – I think it's just going to be a really good match. I think, like I said, chance to steal the show.
All right. And then Al Archer in a Nigerian drum fight. A Nigerian drum fight. For the WWE Intercontinental Championship, your champion, Big E, takes on the challenger, Apollo Crews.
Right. So I think it's just like a Chicago street fight. I believe the Nigerian drum fight has the same rules as a Chicago street fight. So with that, I think it could be interesting. I could see this being more hardcore than people are. Like, I think you think, you know, WWE doesn't really get too hardcore. I think these are two tough dudes who are going to surprise some people with the violence and intensity of this match. And I think it could surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I also think this has the potential to be 14 minutes and really boring.
Okay.
So I think you're either going to get a great match or you're going to get a terrible match. I don't think there's going to be anything in between.
Some people think that personally this match, are there going to be drums being around? There's no rules, no limitations, just a beating so loud it sounds like a drum. That's how
I tell you what,
Apollo.
If they bring in Paul Simon with the African choir that he used on the Graceland album, I will 100% say this is the greatest match of all time.
Okay. I think there's going to be some drums there. I would gather there's drums around. People are going to get hit with drums, right?
Okay. I think somebody's head is probably going to be hit into a drum.
Right. I see it. Then in a singles match, The Fiend takes on Randy Orton.
That's going to happen.
All right. Very good.
I mean, this is the Undertaker match. This
yeah.
is the, you know, the spectacle. The mm-hmm. You may find some paranormal activity takes place.
Yep.
Some shenanigans, some witchery, some might even say.
Witchery.
But it's not for me. Maybe it surprises me. Maybe I'm entertained. You know, maybe there's some cool fireballs or something. You know, it's always nice to see Alexa. I mean, a beautiful woman. The newly engaged Alexa Bliss.
Oh, and, engaged.
Yeah. She's engaged.
Congratulations,
that singer,
Alexa.
To that singer guy.
To the Fiend?
No, the singer.
Who's the singer?
Her fiance.
Jackson. No. Who? Wait, hang on.
I actually don't really know the dude's music.
Buddy Murphy. No. Ryan Cabrera?
No. Right, that's it. Ryan Cabrera.
He began his career as lead singer for the Dallas band Rubik's Groove before his solo career. Okay.
Yeah, I never heard of the dude. But you know what bugs me about this whole thing?
He's not some kid. He's 38. Crazy.
He's 38. I was just going to go, he's 38. Meaning maybe I had a chance. I don't know. I'm a couple years older, but not that much.
Right. You're not that far ahead of this guy.
And she likes dudes with, like, crazy hair, you know?
And she's 29. And, Yeah.
Who knows who could sing along the Disney songs?
Boom.
Like,
just what you love. People who sing along to Disney songs. It's right up your alley.
I would not get along with her at all.
No.
Like, I think she's a beautiful girl.
If that girl came into Trader Todd's, you would be annoyed right from the get-go.
Probably 5 minutes in. I bet she
just from the look. Just from.
I bet she's a horrible tipper.
On the other hand, she's adorable, and you've always been a fan.
I do sometimes melt to with girls like her. So I don't know. It would be interesting if she ever came in for karaoke.
Yeah. Asuka. Rhea
versus
Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. Yeah.
WWE Raw Women's Championship. Asuka is the champion.
I feel like this is one of those that could go either way, too. Like, this could either be, like, a really badass match, because, I mean, Rhea Ripley is a monster. I mean, she is a solid woman with a lot of size, a lot of strength, and a lot of skill, who's dedicated to her craft. She's only 24 years old. And, I mean, if you really break this down into, like, a match of, like, if wrestling was real, Rhea Ripley, the 24-year-old prodigy, going up against Asuka, who, I mean, she's 39 years old. I mean, she's almost 40. She's been doing this forever. And she came up in a country where the wrestling is very physical. Women's wrestling is very physical. And she is known as one of the most hardcore wrestlers of her generation, one of the best strikers and one of the best women's wrestlers. I mean, you know, she's a cartoon character in the WWE, and you kind of forget about who she really is behind that. And she was one of the great female wrestlers of a generation. And she's going up against this young prodigy. That's a very exciting matchup. On paper, I am glad Charlotte Flair got the COVID, because I can say that now because I think she's okay. Looks like everything's fine.
Good.
But taking Charlotte out of this scenario and giving me Asuka versus Rhea Ripley, man, I am stoked for this match.
Okay.
I'm excited. I think I like this match better, dare I say, than the Sasha Banks-Bianca Belair matchup. But,
cool.
You know, this one's not going to main event. This is going to be a co-main event. Again, or possible show opener. And, this is a match I hope they hold off. It's later in the evening. And, you know, it's kind of I'm hoping that they strike. I'm hoping you see some violent strikes between these two women. And
okay.
I think you possibly could get a historic match. I mean, the matchup potential is that good.
I think
I'm
there's
excited.
A new precedent for violence in women's matches that is out there too.
Yeah, the Britt Baker has revolutionized the women's wrestling.
I don't know, just revitalized maybe. maybe kind of gave it a little bit of a spark. There is something there.
She did give it a large stage in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And an American television, you know, where WWE wouldn't go that violent with their women. Although, I mean, there have been incidents. There have been happenings. You know, you can't forget when it was an
accidental nose break.
The nose break of Becky Lynch, yeah.
That created Becky Lynch's badass character, right?
But
the man.
You definitely can tell WWE has shied away from females bleeding.
Right, right. A lot of times they won't show it on the camera a lot of times.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good strategy. I don't know. But I think if you let these women, it doesn't have to be bloody to be physical.
True.
You know, you could have a slobber knocker that doesn't have blood.
Slobber knocker.
But, yeah, stealing one of Jim Ross's lines. He steals everyone else's.
We're down to 6 minutes left on the blog talk show, Al, just so you.
All right. Well, then we'll wrap it up because there's only one match left.
Yeah.
Main event.
Triple
Daniel
threat.
Bryan has found a way to weasel into another match.
Son of a
And
bitch.
I actually think it makes sense here because people like Daniel Bryan. And I think people like Roman Reigns more than they like Edge. I think Edge is coming stale. He's coming flat. He's kind of a turd in the water, just as Christian is coming to NXT or AEW.
Yeah.
I think they weren't getting what they wanted. I think Edge plays a better heel. So they've allowed him to kind of take more of a heel role, kind of the tweener heel. You have Roman Reigns, who's supposed to be the heel. And now you have a true baby face. And Daniel Bryan, can he capture the title yet again? Can he steal another moment? Can the underdog take what should be his against this old dude Edge and your tribal chief, Roman Reigns? Who's been a magnificent heel. I think this also gives Roman Reigns a chance to lose the title, which is interesting because now I believe he can lose the title without getting pinned. I could see Daniel Bryan pinning Edge or Edge pinning Daniel Bryan. Roman Reigns gets screwed. He could go work on some other stuff and not have to have the title and still be dominant and beat some other people.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What if he just beats the shit out of both of them after the match, after Edge wins?
Yeah. I mean, you could have that where, like, hey, now he's mad. Now he's pissed. And he's pissed at the company for allowing a triple threat. And he gets stoogey lawyery. And, you know, he becomes a dominant a-hole who knows he can do no wrong. Kind of a Stone Cold character, but in reverse, where he's actually a heel, like a legit heel.
Yep. Yep.
And not an anti-hero, but an actual villain.
Let's see. I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for WrestleMania weekend. I'm excited to watch both nights. Tonight I'm going to go and try to get figure out Peacock Network and get hooked up. And then I'll try to share that with you so maybe you can watch it on a faster platform.
Okay. I see what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Like maybe through the Comcast box, it's just not getting it done.
Yeah.
We'll try something like that. See what happens.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for WrestleMania. Thank you for going over it here, Al. Thanks for you provided all of the insight. I just kind of drove that train a little bit.
And what a great train engineer you are, my friend. Soon to be jockey.
I think I'm a train pilot.
If I can name the jockeys in my stable, one of them is going to be Clark.
Really?
You're damn right, pal. My first horse is going to be Rygar's on the Jazz. And then from there, I think we're going to get the Horseman. I think my stable is going to be Los Ingobernables of Horsetown.
Yeah.
Of Atari. I think maybe that'd be good.
Okay.
And we're winning this thing. We're taking home some cups.
Let's roll. I'm in. 100%. Sorry, things just kind of fell apart with the child that was down here recently. I guess things the bedtime is not going as it was thought. Anyway, sorry.
All right. Well, I will let you go.
That'll get me rolling. Say hi to Rygar for me.
I have nothing left to say. Rygar, she says hi.
Yeah. Well, Al, thanks, brother.
All right, have a good night, buddy.
Next week I'll be talking all about my favorite baseballs. And we'll recap WrestleMania, of course.
That's right. I'll get to milk another week of wrestling with the WrestleMania recap.
We'll see if the Chicago Bulls have turned this around and are actually going to make the playoffs this time. I don't know. Maybe we'll be able to talk a little AEW then as well. We'll talk about the Jericho thing.
Make sure you check out my podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. People are already a big deal. It's at the eFed Podcast. eFed Podcast. So check that out.
And you can find that anywhere you get your podcast, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Good night, Al.
Good night, buddy. Episode 68. Now.
Yep. See ya.